Today on Timey-Wimey TV, Liz and Rudy announce the Sweet 16 contenders for Time Travel Device March Madness! And also remember some truly incompetent time travelers. Hey there, Internet! First time caller, long time listener, how are you doing? I'm Liz Shannon Miller at Lizlin on the Twitters.
And I'm Rudy at Rudy on Twitter, who does not come with a special welcome each week that I have the luxury, like you, dear listener, to be surprised at what will come out of Liz Shannon Miller's mouth at the beginning of the episode. Welcome to Time One TV, our podcast of all things time travel, particularly our favorite show. I can leave to guess which one that is. Here's a hint. It introduced the word timey-wimey into our common lexicon.
Oh, and God bless it for it. Yes, and actually the first thing we wanted to talk about today, just diving right into things, because we got plenty on our docket, is we have a new photo from basically essentially promoting the first Doctor Who episode to return. What is it now? Like season 7.5.
Yes. You know what's weird? I went to Hot Topic. This weekend.
That is weird.
That is weird. But what's weird is that there's a Doctor Who section in Hot Topic, and they were trying to sell, and they were saying Series 7, Part 1. So now we're all going to gear for Series 7, Part 2.
I hate everything. Sorry. That's extreme. I apologize. I don't hate everything. I just hate that. but we have a fancy poster that both Rudy and I have. Well, Rudy spent a little more time gazing into its abyss than I have, but it's a lovely picture of the Doctor on a motorbike with Clara Osmond Oswald on his back, the back of the motorbike, not like riding piggyback or anything, and plenty of hints at what's to come in this last half season whateverness.
Yes. In fact, if you look at them smashing through this glass surface, the shards of the glass are reflecting not only what people are saying is probably going to be the first creatures, definitely creatures that are going to be appearing throughout the season, where we're seeing apparently the return of the Ice Warriors and the Cybermen, which I'm particularly excited for because it's the Neil Gaiman episode.
It is a Neil Gaiman episode, but it's also the Cybermen, and I thought we'd all agree that the Cybermen were stupid and we shouldn't look at them anymore.
That was only in the Star Trek Next Generation.
No, it was also... I'm actually not a big fan of the Cybermen episodes.
Really?
Just the two-parter in the middle of season two just doesn't do it for me.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I mean,
there's good stuff in that. I think Cybermen are pretty lame.
Oh, come on. How do you not like the end of season two with the giant Dalek Cybermen? Are you saying the Daleks are so awesome, they counteract it?
I like the part where the Daleks make the Cybermen their bitch. Yeah, I like that part plenty well. Because that's what happens in those episodes. Those are the episodes where everyone's like, yeah, Daleks are much better than the Cybermen. Because the Cybermen are kind of bullshit. So, apologies, younger listeners. But I mean, Neil Gaiman, I'm sure he can do something nice with the Cybermen. I look forward to seeing what it will be.
He actually makes them really sweet and read you bedtime stories.
I love it! But yes, Ice Warriors, Cybermen, and...
Well, bigger news than that, particularly the reaction that Liz had when I showed her the picture.
I just literally looked at this picture 5 minutes ago, and my first reaction was, purple coat?
Yeah, it looks like there's some slight costume alterations to the Doctor.
Purple coat? That's stupid.
And if you look at, there's actually more promo pics that have been coming out.
And a yellow bow tie, too. What the hell?
Dear Doctor.
Why is the Doctor dressing like a character from Clue?
That's actually a very good point.
Willy Wonka points out
Casey from the Peanut Gallery. Yes. But anyway, I mean, you know, I think we're looking forward to it. It's like a month left. It's just kind of like we get out of the habit of expecting Doctor Who, and then all of a sudden, poof, Doctor Who appears.
I was like, and you know what? It's probably like, dude, let's just call it Series 8. Let's just do it. You want to do it? I want to do it. Let's just do that.
I mean, I kind of want to, but I also want other people to understand what we're talking about when we talk about Doctor Who.
I was talking to virtual Stephen Moffat sitting next to you.
Oh, yeah. I forgot he sits there.
He sits there and then glowers at us. Yeah. at us. Full of glamour.
She's so disappointed in all of our life choices. Yeah. Not just the ones that we talk about on this podcast, just pretty much everything.
Everything we do is wrong.
Everything we do is wrong.
So that was like the big Doctor Who news.
Is this one picture mm-hmm. that hints at things?
It's all gearing up from there.
Oh, gosh. Here's the big news for us timey-wimey folk, by which I mean people who actually care about this podcast. Hopefully there are at least a few of you. But we've been, we talked a lot, when we had Chris Gore on the podcast a couple weeks ago, you might remember, he introduced the idea of like, you should do like a March Madness, like a timey-wimey TV countdown. And we were like, yeah. That sounds like a fantastic idea. So we went to the Reddits and we went to our friends and folk, and special thanks to my brother for taking an emergency call, which was basically consisted of, what do we do about this one thing?
Yeah.
So we've put together a list of time travel devices.
Yes, actually, you guys helped construct it. Like,
yeah.
Chris actually was suggesting that someone go ahead and catalog every time travel device that's out there.
Chris had a gross overestimation of how much time and energy we have in our daily lives.
Yes, but we said, you know what, we'll put it on Reddit, see what people's reaction is. And I was pleasantly surprised by what we came up with, because we decided... Like, there was a lot of stuff that people put on there that I was like, oh, yeah, and I never thought of that.
Yeah.
And we, because this type of people we are, we take your feedback. We actually, like, the list we're going to have might not actually have, like, every device or things that leap to mind. There's a couple of entries that are not on here.
Yeah.
That was like...
A few things didn't make the cut.
They didn't make the cut. And because I'm like, you know what? We're deferring to what the Reddit people have mentioned and have said.
Yeah.
And we want to thank you guys for participating.
Yes, very much so.
So we've broken it down into brackets.
Do you have yours open? So you want us to alternate back and forth between...
Yeah. So you guys, we're going to post this up there, but yes. You guys can follow along. And we're going to break it into brackets and each week, based on your feedback, our own thoughts, we're going to pick the winner of each bracket and announce them the next week. And it's going to lead up to our episode after Doctor Who's comeback, mm-hmm. where, of course, we'll review the episode and announce what is the ultimate time travel device 2013.
Yeah.
2013.
Yes. And so to clarify some, we have a list of 16 different time travel devices, mm-hmm. which will be competing in a March Madness style bracket. The first three rounds will be determined by Rudy and myself because, you know, making polls takes a lot of time. But the final victor, when we get down to the final round, will be, in fact, totally determined by you guys. You guys will pick the winner, and you also determine the bronze match of third place runner-ups.
Right.
So the final round will be totally voted on by you guys. We have no authority over it whatsoever. But the other thing to mention is that, there's this thing apparently called seeding
Actually, the first thing is like, there's this thing called a bracket.
Yes. Rudy and I are not necessarily sports enabled people, but we have delved into this strange world of creating things that lead to things. And the important thing to note, though, is that we have not created a proper full-on seed for this challenge. We did a blind order or a random order of what gets paired up against what.
Is that what we did?
I clicked the thing on the bracket maker that said randomize, and then the computer did the work. This is technology,
Rudy. Yay, computer!
Trust the technology, it's fine.
By the way, I blame the computer for my lack of interest in sports. Just putting that out there, how ironic that is.
But the computer is leading us to understand sports better, so think about that. But we looked at the order, and we're like, there are no changes we would make in that. I think that's a pretty solid order.
Pretty solid order.
So you want to tell us about round A.
Bracket. Is that bracket A?
I don't know. The first pairing in round one. Sweet 16. First pairing.
First pairing number between entry 1 and entry 16 is the DeLorean from Back to the Future.
Woo!
Woot! Versus the 3D fax machine that was used in Timeline.
That's a real Clash of the Titans.
Clash of the Titans.
All right. Second round, our 8 and 9 seeds, again, seeded randomly.
Actually, before we go on,
yeah,
I think we should explain each of these a bit.
Okay.
The DeLorean, I don't know if there's any need to introduce it.
You don't need to explain the DeLorean.
You know, that was a question that was put on the Reddit thread about, what are we talking about, the 85 versus the...
The 2015?
Yeah.
I feel like you know, you kind of maybe split the difference on that one, because you also, if you're going to include the 2015 as potential, you also have to include the 1885.
Right.
And the 1885 one runs on rails, and that's kind of crappy, so... Yeah.
And so, basically, we say, like, it's the DeLorean. Encompass all of its existence.
Yes.
In its judgment.
In all its majesty.
In all its form. If you want, it's whatever a flux of capacitor can be slapped onto. then the 3D fax machine. For those who have the joy of watching Timeline, which I believe we did at some point. Yep. For Timeline, they actually, if you want to talk about a timey-wimey, wibbly-wobbly explanation of time travel, the whole idea is that there's a 3D fax machine that basically they scan you, they stream you to another universe that's slightly out of sync with ours, you get reconstructed there, and basically your diversion here gets killed. That's effectively what is outlined in the book and of Timeline, which I'm going to be following and kind of, you know, wibbly-wobblied during the movie. Mm-hmm. So that's our, those are our that, entries that, for yeah. our first
first matchup is between the DeLorean 3D fax machine. Second matchup between is our numbers 8 and 9 according to the thing we made. Will be the frozen donkey wheel from Lost. That's not our term, actually. That came from the Reddit thread, but we really liked it. So the frozen donkey wheel from Lost, which moved the island forward a couple years, I think.
Something like that.
Yeah. And that'll be up against the Saran Wrap tunnel from 12 Monkeys.
Yes.
That's the best term we could come up with to describe the Saran Wrap, the tunnel from 12 Monkeys that shoots Bruce Willis back to the past.
Vague memories of it just being this weird tunnel they shoot people with wires and gobbledygook attached to him.
In Saran Wrap.
Yeah.
Yes, so that's our first round. So
12 monkeys.
So next round.
Next round is between, and I think people would find these two franchises.
I think we should say matchup instead of round, by the way.
Yeah,
sorry.
Matchup, sorry.
Yeah, matchup.
The first matchup is, I don't know these sports terms.
I don't know.
The third matchup. Between these two great franchises, I'm sure that people would say, this makes sense.
This is a real clash.
Right, is... The Time Turner from Harry Potter.
Specifically Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban.
Versus, and good thing you'd be specified there because, you know, you could confuse people. But yeah. It's going to be versus Time Cop's Time Slip.
Yeah, it's a big one.
For the Time Turner, as you might remember, Hermione Granger. It's Granger?
Yeah, Granger.
Granger?
Yeah.
The very feisty, you know, very determined young lady wants to go... Wants to study all the things. She decides to use a little time turner so she can attend more than one classes, and it plays into the movie's final ending. Which if you really sit down and think about that movie, it's like this movie has way too much going on, and yet it just works.
It works really well. That's actually a really clean. The movie actually is even cleaner in terms of the time travel device.
Yeah.
Time travel, you know, mechanisms being put together.
Yep.
And then the time slide is what we don't even know how it works.
It sort of dawned on us, and this is again, wait till we get the Quantum Leap thing, but there's a Swiss cheese memory thing that we have going on here where some of these entries were like, yeah, I remember.
Wait, I don't think Quantum Leap made the list.
Quantum Leap did not make the list. That's one of the ones that should have that we said that could be in there.
But. It could be, but I think we went for the things that were picked by the Reddit thread.
That's how it goes.
Yeah, so blame the Reddit thread, everyone.
Yep.
So Time Cop, Time Sled. So next matchup. In round one, Sweet 16. I'm trying to sound more sportscastery.
This one's for the ladies.
This one's for the ladies.
Of the early 2000s.
Oh, I'm looking at it now, and you are a bad person. All right, go ahead.
It's Ashton Kutcher.
From the Butterfly Effect.
Please forgive us, everybody, but again, Reddit did pick these entries.
Yes, most of these entries. But yes, oh, good, Ashton. Ashton Kutcher just cut, and his magic diary.
Which seemed to trigger the phenomenon.
Yes, that would shoot him back and forth in time, changing his own past.
Yes. And led to much much misery, if as I recall.
Yeah, that movie is miserable.
Oh yeah, it's not a good thing.
Yes, and then what's that up against, Rudy?
That is up against its intellectual equal? Question mark? The Box from Primer.
The Box from Primer.
Yeah. The Box from Primer, which I don't know how much I want to spoil here, given there's people in the room that want to watch it.
Have you actually seen Primer yet?
I have.
Oh my god, when did you see Primer?
I saw it very, like, in passing, like, various mornings to kind of get over it.
Yeah, and I'm glad you got that one.
I need to watch it again.
Yeah.
Because it's one of those things that's like, what?
You need to watch that movie like 3 or 4 times.
Yes, it brain hurt.
But the Box from Primer.
And which box are we talking about?
The magic box. I don't know. Oh, I'm not talking to you anymore. I'm going to instead talk about the next matchup.
Next matchup,
which is between the time travel toilet from the film Frequently Asked Questions About Time Travel, which is a movie that I believe is either... Oh, shoot. It's a British actor I really like who is, like, essentially pushing it. I don't think it's Dylan Moran. I think it might be the one who's in all the American films now. God, the guy from Bridesmaids. Help me out here, Rudy.
Guys from Bridesmaids?
IT Crowd. Help me out. It's one of those guys.
One of those dudes.
But anyways, it's got a good...
Chris O'Dowd.
Thank you. Gosh, that's annoying. But yes, Chris O'Dowd and Anna Faris, mm-hmm. I believe. And I believe it... I've started watching it. I need to finish watching it, especially because now it is up against...
It's up against The Phone Booth from Bill and Ted.
The Phone Booth from Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. And I feel like that one, Rudy, I feel like might surprise people, because while you might think that the time travel toilet's coming in as an underdog, The Phone Booth from Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure did break down quite a bit.
Well, I was also thinking that people would be questioning, why do we have, why this phone booth? Is there not another phone booth that involving time travel that could be included in this?
We're going to get to that, Rudy, just down the line.
Ooh.
I'm getting my sportscaster on. Can you hear?
I can hear it. I can hear it.
I'm working on
it. It's like listening to Howard Cosell. That's a sports reference, isn't it?
Yes. Okay. We're gonna have to wear sports coats for the final
matchup.
Do they
do that even anymore?
They do. They're classy folk. Okay, so yeah, so that's our fifth matchup. What's our number six?
Our next matchups is between Loopers, and here's the best name we could come up with it, Furnace Thingy.
We couldn't do any better, folks. We could not
it
do any better
like
than
a furnace. It's like a Faraday cage trapped in a furnace.
But it doesn't do the Faraday thing. Like,
and a box. I don't know, but not the box from Primer.
You wear a straitjacket. I don't know. It's very confusing.
Yes. Not much detail spent on there, on it, except for consequences.
Mm-hmm.
So there's the Furnace Thingy.
From Looper.
Versus Chrono Impairment, which is the genetic disorder that, I can't remember his name, the male lead in the time travel, Harry, Harvey.
Oh.
Henry.
We did it. Henry.
I remembered that.
Yes, you did that all on your own. Yes, Henry from The Time Traveler's Wife suffers from the disease Chrono Impairment, which shoots him back and forth through time, kind of without any control whatsoever. Mm-hmm. So that'll actually be an interesting thing to debate. I think I'm looking forward to debating that matchup with you.
Let's do that.
So next up, we have the Dagger of Time from Prince of Persia. I feel like we should specify in honor of Eric, who my brother, who we called frantically saying, "Wait, which video game thing should we put in?" It was between Ocarina of Time from Legend of Zelda and the Dagger of Time from Prince of Persia. Eric suggested Dagger of Time,
and we have to mention I did mention Chrono Trigger's the time travel machine ship mm-hmm. that they have there, Epoch.
Okay.
That's in there. But...
But we went with Dagger of Time. We're going to pretend that the movie maybe doesn't exist. But
someone went back in time and erased it.
Yes, exactly. Oh, I see what you did there. But we've got the Dagger of Time from Prince of Persia versus... This is a real, like, old school, new school, like, old team, new team thing. The Time Machine from H.G. Wells is the Time Machine.
The one that started it all?
The one that started it all. It, certainly gets you to the future. We know that much. And, you know, we'll also kind of, if you're feeling like in the classic film sort of mood, we'll also lump in. I feel like that also includes Time After Time.
Yeah.
Because it's H.G. Wells' Time Machine.
It's pretty much the same thing.
Yeah, exactly.
It's actually like, it's funny, like, I want to go back and review what was written in H.G. Wells' Time Machine, because I feel like nearly all those machines look exactly the same. No matter what remake of it or what spin-off of it you see, it seems to have the same design, probably because he described it to, that looked a certain way.
Yeah, and our final matchup, Rudy.
Our final matchup. This one is I think it's gonna be
this one I feel a little bad about.
it should we start with the 80-pound gorilla?
Let's start with the 80-pound gorilla.
I wonder what the 80-pound gorilla in this entire thing.
Yeah, what's the one thing we haven't mentioned yet?
Yeah. The TARDIS.
The TARDIS from Doctor Who.
What can we say about the TARDIS? If you're a listener of the show, you know everything there is to know about the TARDIS.
You know. It's sexy.
It is. I mean, Neil Gaiman showed us that.
He did show us that in lady form.
You're like, I want to be her doctor. Her thief.
She stole him.
But we could have a dark horse here.
We have a dark horse.
We could have a dark horse here.
Oh my god, no we don't.
don't prejudge.
I won't prejudge. There could be a Cinderella story.
You were beaming with glee when this was presented in front of us.
Well, because I do have fond childhood memories of the Omni from the 1980s series Voyagers. Please. That is what's up against the TARDIS.
I know you weren't around for the 80s, Liz, being of a very young age.
I am, in fact, 13 years old.
That's true. But you weren't around for it, but I know your passion for research.
As a fervent chronicler of everything that's ever come before my birth date of the year 1990.
Okay.
I think that's right. Sure. No, sorry, 2000.
13
years old, sticking with it. Totally nailed it. But the Omni was, it's a dial type thing. It was mentioned in the Reddit thread. We watched the opening sequence for Voyagers, and when the Omni is red, that means history is wrong. And then that means that our plucky young heroes have to fix it. We have to fix history, not the Omni. The Omni is actually pretty functional.
We love you, Reddit, for putting this in front of us.
Yes. I actually did watch the Voyagers pilot, I think. I thought it was a movie for the longest time, which means I had a really hard time tracking it down. And I actually might try to, like, find it again.
And we can go watch it and make some decisions.
Yeah, I mean, I just, you know, it's worth checking out.
Should we make the rule, like, maybe this is the handicap we give the TARDIS? It's like, how does the best episode of Voyagers compare against the worst episode of Doctor Who?
Well, that's just not nice, because then we'd have to compare it against the Doctor's daughter, and I'm not going down that road again.
we might have to watch them both in parallel.
No! Abort that mission. So
let's review from the top.
Yes.
First matchup, DeLorean versus 3D Fax Machine.
Woo!
Second, Frozen Donkey Wheel from Lost versus the Saran Wrap Tunnel from 12 Monkeys.
Woo!
Third matchup, the Time Turner from Harry Potter versus the Box from Primer.
No, the Time
Sorry, Slide. Sorry, the Time Slide from Time Cop.
Yes. Ashton Kutcher from the Butterfly Effect versus the Box from Primer.
There you go. The Time Travel Toilet from Frequently Asked Questions About Time Travel versus the Phone Booth from Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. Furnace Thingy of Looper versus the Chrono Impairment Genetic Disorder from The Time Traveler's Wife. We have the video game entry of The Dagger of Time from Prince of Persia versus the classic Time Machine from H.G. Wells' The Time Machine. I feel like an Oscar person.
You're doing great.
And finally, the TARDIS from Doctor Who versus the Omni from Voyagers.
Yay!
Yeah!
Well done, everyone. Thank you very much to the Reddit thread for helping us out with this. We're going to be taking your guys' thoughts in over Reddit. We're going to take it over all the social medias. We want to hear what you guys think should win. Whichever matchup you want, you can go through them all. You can just basically say, if the Box doesn't beat Ashton Kutcher, I don't know what I'm doing with my life.
Right.
You tell us what you think. One matchup.
Oh, I think there's people who are saying the opposite.
Oh, no, I don't like that sentence. You tell us what you think about one matchup. Tell us what you think about all the matchups. We really want to hear, because your thoughts are going to make us, are going to help guide us when we make our decisions for the next round, the what is the Elite Eight? That's the term. The Elite Eight coming to you next week on Timey-Wimey TV. Look forward to it.
Yes. So as part of a, I mean, let's do a little post-game show here.
Oh, nice sports. Someone knows sports.
Post-sports game. Of another kind of list of time travelers.
Yes, this is a fun one.
I and I put this out today, and I thought let's actually talk it over and share it with everybody. Liz has only skimmed through it. I've read it intensely, but it's the 10 least confident time travelers, and it was interesting to see who was on this list.
Yes,
they actually lead off with Marty McFly.
Why Marty McFly? Because I feel like he screwed up time, but then he fixed time to some extent.
Right, but
for the better.
The good deal is that he's the least confident about what he's doing. I mean, he nearly sleeps with his mother. They leave the time machine lying around, and then Biff steals it. It's just, there's no like really thought about what the hell they're doing. They sort of just stumble their way through it. Yeah. That's the accusation made towards it. Yeah. I think it's a bit unfair.
Well, I think one thing I will say about the Back to the Future movies is that they do that thing where it's like, why are you saying that to your relatives or your ancestors? If you were a smart person, you would not hint at these things.
Right. Like, and in fact, like the stuff that happens in the future, apart from him fixing his parents' relationship, there's stuff he said to his uncle that had an influence with him later on and things like
yeah.
that. So they're saying not the least competent in that sense. But I think that's why he rises to the occasion.
Yes.
It goes on to say, hey, I love this one because I've never read A Connecticut Yankee in King Arthur's Court.
Yeah, it's the first. I mean, I think we looked it up once. It technically predates
The Time Machine.
It predates The Time Machine. And it's more of a, you know, oh, I like this line. I'm guessing Mark Twain hadn't heard of the butterfly effect when he wrote his classic Connecticut Yankee in King Arthur's Court, because when Hank Morgan wakes up in ancient England, he does the equivalent of murdering every
butterfly.
Goddamn butterfly he sees.
I don't want to read this, because it goes on to say, he shoots knights with his revolver, blows up Merlin's tower. He's like, he sounds like he's just this giant asshole that stabbed me through the countryside.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like the thing is, like, Mark Twain was basically creating the tropes that would go on to guide, like, countless other stories down the line. So you can't go too hard on Connecticut Yankee. But, I mean, yeah. Butterfly effect, schmutterfly effect.
Right. Superman the movie.
Superman the movie.
See, this one I disagree with.
Really?
Yes, it's because they're just judging how lame the time travel is in that movie.
So instead of judging, they should be judging the time travel and not Superman.
Why?
They specifically call it Superman.
Yeah, and which I find is like they're saying, because like, the real reason is she time travels by traveling back through time in the dumbest way possible. It's like, whoa. He's actually very competent. All he needs to do is speed up faster than light or do it or whatever the hell happened in that moment. He's being highly confident. I agree with some of the other choices because, like, yeah, this guy's decisions of what the hell they're doing is completely off base and wrong. But Superman clearly knows what he's doing in this case.
Yeah, I just think it's a really dumb ending.
It's a dumb ending. I'm not disagreeing. I'm just saying it's not that it's incompetent. I'm not saying he's incompetent. This list is supposed to be of people who are incompetent. The next entry, that's incompetence. The Anubis Gate one.
Mm-hmm. I haven't read that.
That's something we should read.
Mm-hmm.
And I was actually, well, let me rephrase that. That's something I was going to suggest we'd read. But after reading this, I'm like, I don't know if I want to read this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, but I have to read this out loud because it's fascinating. Basically, it talks about the whole premise of it is that there's a rich dying industrialist called J. Cochran Darrow,
sure,
who finds a portal and gets a scholar, a literally scholar at the time, to go with him and check it out. And unfortunately, the scholar misses the portal back to the present.
Mm-hmm.
And basically he tries to, you know, the whole idea is like, how, you know, he goes, oh, I have all this knowledge of the future. I certainly could find a job and live well here. And then it turns out, no, he's just an idiot. He can't do anything. Can't even get a job washing dishes.
Wow.
But then this is the best part. He runs into a werewolf who can transfer people's minds. So
okay.
Basically transfers him into his mind, into the body of the mind of the poet he studied as a literary scholar. So he becomes that poet.
It's just lame.
And it basically the entire plan based on him and also this industrialist is that there is this werewolf that has capacity of moving people between bodies. Lovely.
Yes. I feel as it should be obvious, but if your time travel plan is wholly dependent on a mind-swapping werewolf, do not make that goddamn plan.
Yes. So I'm torn. I kind of want to read it. I kind of don't want to at this point.
I'm welcome. I would love to have you read it and then tell me what happens in it. This is interesting. Number five on this list is...
I completely agree with this one.
Fry from Futurama. We really... I have actually... One of the things that we've always been... That we've been told over the years that we should be covering on this thing is Futurama.
Yes, and indeed.
I've never really properly dug into it for some reason. And
it's one of my favorite science fiction shows because it actually, like... It makes fun of science fiction and satire, but it comes from a place of, like, love, where they actually take these things to their logical ending for a lot of things.
Yeah, no, and every episode I've seen I really liked. It's just one of those, like, haven't dug into it. But yeah, we should sit down, we should do all the time travel episodes at some point. But even though Philip J. Fry here is listed as number five on the list of 10 least incompetent...
And least I might even raise him number one of least incompetent.
Well, I feel like they specify this list as in no particular order.
That's true.
But yes, Philip J. Fry should be at the top of the list.
Right. Then there is, I love this one, everybody on Lost.
Oh God, everyone on Lost is so dumb.
Yes.
They're so dumb.
Especially when it comes to time travel.
Oh God. Someday we're going to have my friend Amy on this podcast, and she will just be very sad, very mad. She will just shout into the microphone about Lost and its time travel, and it will be one of the funniest podcasts we've ever done, but also it's just so aggravating.
I will adjust the sound levels for that point in time.
Yes.
Moving on. This was something I never heard of before. Lazarus Long from Robert A. Heinlein. There's a whole bunch of them.
Oh.
And there's one particular one called Time Enough for Love.
When I was skimming this originally, I thought it was one of those Korean time travel romantic dramas that we talked about a couple weeks ago.
No, this one is, you know, so part of the things with all this is there's certain reoccurring themes. Butterfly effect.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not knowing where you're going. But in this one, it's a reoccurring theme that it shares with Back to the Future. And also with Mr. Philip J. Fry, which is sleeping with your ancestors.
Ah, yeah.
Except in this case, like... In Back to the Future, there he's actively trying to avoid it once he realizes what's going on.
Sure.
In Philip J. Fry's case, he has to for the sake of his own existence.
He's closing the loop.
Right. In Time Enough for Love, his mother is already pregnant with him when he decides to do it. So there's really no reason for him to do it.
Well, he gets to fuck his mother. Like, that's a thing.
That's a thing. And apparently that's a huge thing. But, like, apparently... There's threesomes involving sisters and daughters. Yeah, let's move on.
Robert Heinlein, you beautiful, free-loving bastard.
Yeah, way too free there.
So there's a movie that... there's a movie called Time Chasers that was covered by Mystery Science Theater 3000. That sounds pretty incredible.
I love the description of the time machine. I don't know why this did not make our list. It was simply a light plane with a Commodore 64 strapped to it.
Nice.
And I think it's this makes it, like, just the description of this alone makes me go, like, you know, we have to maybe watch this when we're between series on Doctor Who. We should add
we're almost list. which will be again in like a couple months.
That's it. Couple of months.
I can't believe we're already looking forward to after Doctor Who is over. When Doctor Who hasn't even come back yet.
Oh, what have you done to us, Moffat?
Ruined our lives.
Yes.
I like number nine, which is everyone who works at Time Safari in A Sound of Thunder. Yes, if any slight deviation in the past might perhaps screw up the future, maybe don't run a tourist attraction there.
I love this. This best line here goes like, as such, I have to spread the blame amongst all of Time Safari employees because selling trips into the past to any idiot with a credit card is pretty much the worst idea ever.
Yeah.
It's like letting several bulls loose in the china shop where all the china is the actual fabric of reality.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I love that story. It's actually one of my first, like, real exposures to time travel that made me really think about it. It's one of my favorite Bradbury stories, but it's still like, yeah, when you're 13, it's awesome. And then when you're slightly older, like 13 and a half, as I am now, you're like, maybe.
It works as a short story.
Every
time I try to adopt it to something longer, we're like, this idea does not have legs. It's frightening.
I have technically seen the movie that they made, and I could not tell you one thing about it, but I might one day triple dog dare us to watch it because I recall it being hilarious.
Casey recently watched it, and she would not... She had to recount everything that was wrong with it to me, because she, it was kind of like a way to like process her feelings.
Yeah.
It was interesting to witness. And then finally,
from the one crossover between March Madness, our March Madness bracket and this list.
The man who is a time machine, Ashton Kutcher.
He's both a time travel device and a time traveler.
Yeah.
And it's so convenient.
And as we pointed out earlier, it's triggered when he reads his diary, and it goes into like basically the life he starts off with is pretty bad. And yet the life he keeps seeming to like every time he fixes it, it becomes much worse.
I'm just going to read this out loud. When Ashton Kutcher discovers he can travel back time to various points of his own life by reading his diary out loud, parentheses, sigh, he tries to fix his ridiculously, almost hilariously awful childhood, which includes him starring in child pornography, killing a pregnant woman, and his dad trying to kill him. Amazingly, Kutcher's forays into the past actually makes his life worse. One time he ends up in prison getting raped, another time he returns to the present to find both his arms missing, and he also fucks up the life of his crush Amy Smart, too. And despite how terrible he is at it, he keeps going back and trying to fix things and just continues making them worse, to the point where, in the director's cut at least, he travels back to when he was a fetus and strangles himself with his umbilical cord. Oh my god, look, I understand the butterfly factor. If you can't manage to make a single improvement in your life and the base is you being a murderer forced into a travel porn, you are a bad time traveler. I'm glad that this is the last one on his list.
Yes.
But, yes. But at the plus side, he doesn't need a time machine. He can just do it with his magic diary. I'm just preparing for next week when we actually have to pretend like he's a viable contender.
I would maybe like the movie better if it was called Ashton Kutcher and His Magic Diary.
I will get on Hollywood and say, "Dear Hollywood, I would like to make this movie called Ashton Kutcher and His Magic Diary," and then I will just go off into the woods for 6 months and commune with nature, and then I will come back and I will send them a DVD of The Butterfly Effect. But I will scroll out on the cover. I'll be like, Magic Diary with marker masking tape. No one will ever know.
No, because I think a lot of people have forgotten that movie.
So speaking of terrible time travelers, we asked the internets who they thought might be terrible time travelers, and our good friend Grook, whose name I love saying that way. Hopefully he does not find it offensive in the slightest. But our good friend Grunk asked us, replied to our question about, like, who do you find to be a terribly incompetent time traveler? And his response was Star Trek Voyager. Seriously, have you noticed how many parallel universe paradoxes they've created?
Yes.
I would have gone mad like that future time cop captain did and tried it off Janeway too. My science project, Wikipedia, it is a close second. Other than that, the 909 place piece covered all the ones on my brain surface. I really enjoy the call out to that Star Trek Voyager episode where the time cop tried to kill them all.
Yes. And actually there was that great, one of the best lines ever in I'm not a fan of Voyager.
Oh, is it?
But there's that moment when Janeway, where she actually literally stops someone trying to explain something. Is like, look, I swear I never get involved in time paradox. Let's just get this done. Yeah, I don't even want to hear about it.
No, it's really important. It's really important. Oh god, Voyager. I don't miss Voyager. I was fond of it for a time, but then I kind of got over that problem. Do you have anything else on your end?
Nothing here through our different feeds.
It's very exciting though, because I hope go to the website, you guys. You're gonna be able to look at the bracket like with your own beautiful hazel eyes. I'm assuming your eyes are hazel. They could be brown.
Like, sit back and write love songs to our listeners, because I know I do about their hazel eyes.
Yeah, or brown/blue/black. I don't know what their color's eyes can be.
Come up
green,
with something for your eyes, green, everybody.
Yes, each individual one of you will get a special song about your eyes, as long as your eyes are hazel. but yes, please let us know what you think of the bracket. Tell us who you think should win in the next round and go on to the Elite Eight, sports terms. I know them. And As always, you can find us on the Twitters at TimeyWimeyTV. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/TimeyWimeyTV. You can find us on Tumblr at TimeyWimeyTV.tumblr.com. You can find us on Google Plus by searching for us on Google Plus. And you can email us at feedback@TimeyWimeyTV. And of course, you can find us on the internet at TimeyWimey.tv.
And you could subscribe to us from that website. We have an RSS feed. Or search for us on iTunes.
On
podcasts. And on Stitcher.
Stitcher.
We're one of the, you can actually listen to us on the Stitcher little applet we've got on our website, go through our catalog, or you could go to get the Stitcher app and get us there.
There's so many ways you can listen to this.
So many. In fact, you don't really have an excuse not to listen to our show.
Yes.
Which is funny for me to say to you if you're listening to it, because you are listening to it. But the real question is, how do we get to people who are not listening to us?
Tell one of your friends that there are so many ways they could be listening to us talk about time travel television right now.
Let me point, if you tell one friend that they could also listen to TimeyWimey TV, you'll get an episode free.
That's a good deal.
That's a good deal.
That's good value for your dollar friends. So maybe think about that. I'm just saying. Just throwing that out there. Anyways, thank you all very much for listening. We'll see you next week with round two of TimeyWimey TV.
Building up.
Time travel device March Madness.
March Madness. Woot!
Woot!